Good afternoon. This is your host, Michael J. Long, host of Michael's Libertarian Pizza Party, Monday morning at 10:33 a.m. And thank you for joining me. I truly and sincerely appreciate it, guys. If you haven't already done so, you can hit the notification bell. You can hit the, if you haven't already done so, I highly recommend this. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. But if you haven't already done so, you can click the subscription link on my YouTube channel. Go to www.youtube.com/c/Michael's Libertarian Pizza Party. Click that subscription link and then click the notification bell and select all. And then that way you will be notified of any future video content and live streams that I do for YouTube. And also, you can, if you haven't done so, you could also consider becoming a channel member, and that would greatly help out a lot. You can also go to anchor.fm/Michael J. Long to tune in whenever there's a podcast episode to be published, or podcast episode that has been published. And you can listen to all my podcasts on there. And you can also tune in to 89.6 FM if you're in the Gloversville, Johnstown area. And you can listen to me live when I go live on the radio. Or go to any of my radio shows or whatnot. And so those are some of the ways where you can listen to me. Radio.co is a, you know. So anyways, I'll try to make this brief. I mean, I'll say it again and again and again, right? I'll try to make it brief, a brief recording, a brief episode. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot that's in the politics. And I've often said, and I will continue to say that now has never been a better time to join the Libertarian Party and become a Libertarian today. Because, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, from my perspective, just, and from probably the perspective of a lot of people, probably just don't care about how people think or feel, you know? They know they're going to get the core supporters, the Republican Party at least, knows they're going to get the full support of all the conservatives that vote for the Republican Party. And to the contrary, the liberal Democrats know that their core supporters, the liberal Democrats and the progressives, are going to vote for them no matter what. So the aim of the media, to which the two major parties have bought out, is to try to gear independents into voting for one of the two major parties, so that they can continue to get elected. And then continue to do what they're doing, which is to grow the size of the federal government, which a lot of people on the left and the right appear to be okay with, especially if it's within whatever it is that they agree, then they don't mind big government. And the thing about the Libertarian Party, if you're in opposition to big government, is that we are not in favor of big government. And so, as far as the big government entities that exist, primarily exist within the Democratic and Republican parties. And I'll tell you this much, there's not really a whole lot of difference between Donald Trump's 4 years in office from 2016 to 2020, and then, who's that other guy? Oh yeah, Joe Biden, right? Because, you know, and so the Republicans will love going about, well, you know, Joe Biden, you know, you created the 94 crime bill. It was actually the Republicans under Nixon who started the whole drug war. And if you recall, Nixon stated that he wanted to be against, that he was doing it in opposition to what he referred to as the SPICs, i.e. the Puerto Ricans and the blacks, the African Americans and whatnot. Right, so that was at the time, and so of course Nixon was the biggest bigot of the at that time going, and of course he ended up stepping down after being impeached over Watergate or something, as far as I can recall. And the thing is, at the time, you know, politicians, no matter how corrupt they were, had the dignity to step down, and we don't see that today. As you know, Trump was impeached twice. And he was acquitted twice, you know, back in the 2020, but when he could have stepped down, obviously, right? But Trump was mainly ridiculed for his role in what everybody seemed to see as him encouraging the riot at the Capitol that had occurred. And I don't know whether Trump was involved in doing that or not, but certainly his followers seemed to believe that he gave the order for them to attack the Capitol. I don't have evidence one way or the other than that the Capitol riot did occur, right? And there is evidence to suggest that these were conservatives and not Antifa, because I don't see Antifa running around and with Trump flags and dressing up as Trump supporters going out to do things like that. I mean, they're usually, if they're going to riot and burn down cities, which they usually do when they don't get their way, they're usually going to do it in whatever clothing they feel they tolerate. I didn't think Joe Biden was going to be I wasn't sure how bad Biden was going to be over Trump, but Biden, and look, I commended him for shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, because that was government run. Now, I don't mind the Keystone Pipeline per se, but I think that shouldn't be the government telling them when they can be operational, when they can't, and all this stuff. It should be run by the free market, and if they can't go to someone's property to expand it, they should go around it, right? But instead, we get the government involved, and then there's eminent domain, and then people have had their property seized, not only here in the United States, but in Canada, but especially also here in the United States. So, and we were spending a lot of money just to artificially deinflate the oil prices through the Keystone Pipeline. And most of that oil was going to Europe and parts of Asia and whatnot, through government. It wouldn't mind it so much if the government had not been involved with that project and shutting down people's properties, which they had no business doing, from a rational point of view, and they had no constitutional authority to do it unless they were going to properly compensate them, which they never do. Right. So, you know, the Constitution says one thing. They'll make up an estimate and they'll do something completely different. Right. But I commended him for getting us out of Afghanistan, though we could have done it where we gotten all the people that had protected us out of there, and our troops out of there, and our military and our equipment, and anybody who helped us out of there. So we may have done it in a rush. And a lot of people who've helped us kind of got left behind. So we could have done it better in evacuating our military personnel and people who've helped us and people who wanted to get the hell out of there and whatnot. But overall, it was better than us. Okay, we're going to be there for another 10, 20, 30 years, right? So I commended him for that. But I don't like a lot of the policies that he's pushed for domestically in this buyback better crap. And I especially don't like the fact that under his administration, we're sending millions of dollars, which total up to the billions of dollars that we've been sending to Ukraine since 2014. I don't like the fact that, you know, because I know, yes, I know, Russia invaded the Ukraine and all that. And I think a lot of that had to do with the United States and the West dangling NATO membership to Ukraine. Russia obviously felt threatened by that, because we have them surrounded by countries who are joining NATO left to right all over near and around their borders. And the latest news is that now Finland and Sweden have applied to join NATO, right? And Finland especially borders Russia to the north. So now we're going to sit there, and so if they, you know, so if Russia hasn't already invaded Finland, I don't know, I would be surprised, but if they didn't, right? But, you know, we've ignored the Russians, we've ignored their concerns, and then we turn around under the Biden administration, right? And we sit there and say, okay, we're going to sanction all the oligarchs. We're going to seize all your boats. And we're going to sell those boats to give to Ukraine. And then we're going to take taxpayers' money and get Congress to raise everybody's taxes to then turn around and give to Ukraine. And everybody's got to be forced into supporting Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. And nobody's allowed to do business with Russia. And their dollars that we've compromised their economy. We've completely artificially collapsed it. We sanctioned their we took them out of the world point of view of doing business with everybody in the West, and so forth. And so their economy is in shambles because of that, that being Russia. And it has done very little to, it has had little effect to no effect on Putin or any of the people that are close to him, because they're still living like they got a lot of money, right? And so what this is really affecting is the Russian people, many of whom have supported the Ukrainians since day one, the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. So the thing that bothers me is this is an affair that we should be minding our own business. And if we had been minding our business, I doubt very seriously that Russia would have felt compelled to even invade or attack Ukraine. Now, with that said, do I condemn the Russian invasion of the Ukraine? Yeah, I would condemn any country invading another sovereign country, right? And I do support the Ukraine in that sense. But I also believe that this is not a war that the United States should be involved with. And this is something, this was never something that we should have excluded Russia from the world economy from. And this was never something that we should have ever been involved with, in even putting the slightest of multitudes of sanctions on them. And the United States and the United Kingdom are both responsible for the encouragement of other Western countries in doing the same thing when Germany, for instance, gets 40% of their oil and gas from Russia. So now we're giving them oil from our oil reserves, which was meant for our military and for emergencies here in the United States for fuel and whatnot. So that much I do know. I believe that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to take a big hit on this. I don't believe they're going to get reelected over this, you know. And the other thing is that now Biden's going after China and said he's going to side with Taiwan with the whole island thing shit, which actually started under the Trump administration, which Trump was vowing to support Taiwan over. And now Biden has continued that policy. He's done nothing to get rid of the NDAA, the Patriot Act. And then he wants to turn around and restrict our gun rights and our civil liberties and our rights. For someone who claims to be pro, you know, civil liberties, you know, it's the opposite of that. And so, you know, and there isn't really any difference between him or Trump. And I got a feeling that Trump's going to run again in 2024, you know. And if he does, he's probably going to win the Republican nomination, although he may have challenges within the GOP from people who believe that we should be invading Ukraine because his latest state, I mean, Russia, that is, or, you know, helping out Ukraine or whatnot, because, you know, even Mike Pence was saying, oh, we should pound the war drums. And with that sector of the war, Trump mentioned that we should mind our own business, which we should. And I would argue that we should have minded our own business under his administration with the whole China deal and with every other country and not killed Soleimani. But either way, if Trump wins the Republican nomination, things are not going to change just because he gets elected. Because we've seen how he's governed this country when he was already president from 2016 to 2020, and he increased the deficit. It was $19 billion, I think, when Obama left office. By the time Trump left office, it was $26 billion. And that's because Trump authorized the U.S. Federal Reserves to print money out of thin air with QE3 and QE4. And then, you know, a lot of the state governments under his administration were like, well, we're going to have mask mandates and all this stuff. And, you know, like especially states like New York telling the free market that they have to fire or let go employers or non-essential workers, right? And of course, how do you define that, right? So of course, over the course of time, you know, the economy's taking a nosedive. And of course, Biden gets in, and now we're $30 trillion in debt. And Trump's not going to do anything to reduce it. By the time he leaves, we will be 31, 32, or 33 trillion. So by the time he leaves office, and none of the programs they've implemented have ever worked. So again, guys, you know, if you really want to vote for someone who's going to reduce the size of the U.S. federal government and protect your civil liberties and your rights and all that, the Libertarian Party is the political party to vote for. And especially if you're a libertarian, but also if you're an independent, right? Because recent data shows that most presidential elections, in most presidential elections, 25% of the votes usually go to the Republicans and 25% usually go to the Liberal Democrats, right? Because the Republican Party has a core base of 25%. Same with the Republican Party. All right? So no matter which of the two major party get, you know, runs, they're going to, you know, get 25% even. And the reason one or the other is always able to win is because of the independents. Now, if the independents vote for the Libertarian Party, the Libertarian Party could easily win. We Libertarians could easily win with their support and their vote through plurality. And the reason I say that is because they represent 40% of the national voter outcome. Or 20% usually go of the independents usually will vote for Democrats, and 20% usually 20 or 30 for Republicans, or vice versa, right? But 40% is a lot bigger than 25% of the two major parties. So, you know, if we can get enough independents to vote for the Libertarian Party, and I'm pretty sure we can get a Libertarian president elected in our lifetime. Same thing with, you know, hopefully we can then get Supreme Court justices that are Libertarian, like Judge Andrew Napolitano, as opposed to, I don't know, Ginsburg, who passed away, unfortunately, or like Garland or whatever, right? Today's the season to be voting for the Libertarian Party, and the LPNY, we're on our last day of petitioning to get Larry Sharp on the ballot. Or tomorrow's actually the deadline. It's the 31st. They all have to be doing by then. The Libertarian Party hopefully will get Larry Sharp and Andrew Hollister on the ballot. Andrew Hollister's running as his running mate for governor and lieutenant governor. Larry Sharp's running for governor here in New York. And if you're fed up with Governor Kathleen Hochul and her policies, you can vote for Larry Sharp this November. I think the elections are going to be in November for general elections for governor. And then don't forget to vote Libertarian for President of the United States 2 years from now. Our next convention, national convention, of course, will be in 2 years. And we will be nominating whoever it is that wins the nomination to become the standard bearer and candidate nominee for the Libertarian Party. And so, anyways, I'm Michael J. Long at 10:53 a.m. And if you haven't already tuned in, I was discussing that Larry Sharp's running for governor here in New York, and when the next national national convention is going to be and all that. And I was also discussing what I don't like about a lot of, you know, pretty much 90% of Joe Biden's policies I don't like. And I sure as hell don't like a lot of Trump's policies either. So I've spoke about that and spoke about what you can do if you're also fed up with corruption, which is to vote for the Libertarian Party. All right, guys, I'm Michael J. Long and at 10:54 a.m. And thank you for joining me. I truly and sincerely appreciate it.